Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 29, verse 31 to chapter 30, verse 24. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me." She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" Then she said, "Here's my servant Bilhah. Go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, "Good fortune has come." So she called his name Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son, and Leah said, "Happy am I, for women have called me happy." So she called his name Asher. In the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" Rachel said, "Then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons." So she called his name Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph, saying, "May the Lord add to me another son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, thank you that everything that was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. And so we pray that you would give us that hope now. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you see when you first look at Jacob's home life? Yeah, quite. Probably disaster, and the type of disaster that just seems to get worse with every word that Moses writes. What do you see when you look a second time at Jacob's home life? And possibly a disaster that you begin to recognize in part. Envy, hatred, desperation, mixed motives and faith and hypocrisy and idolatry. And maybe something of Jacob's home life reminds you of what you saw as a child as you watched your parents, or what you fear your children might remember when they're adults and look back having watched you. Look a third time, and what do you see? Look a third time and you see the Lord. This bit of the Bible is here so that we look not just once at the disaster and go, oh, what a mess, not just twice and go, oh my goodness, I'm a mess, but three times and see the Lord and then put our hope in him. Because in these verses, in this bit of the Bible, the Lord says to us, this world is not invisible to me. You are not invisible to me. You are seen and you are heard. And you cannot mess your life up so badly that I will not see you, hear you, and save you. This bit of the Bible is here for us to teach us to hope in the Lord, to take our hope out of the blind, deaf, and dumb idols that we put it in, and put our hope in the Lord. Why should we do that? Well, firstly, the Lord sees. Verses chapter 29, verse 25, through to chapter 30, verse 13. The Lord sees. Jacob has two wives. He has the wife he wants, that's Rachel, and the wife he doesn't want, Leah. And so verse 31, there in chapter 29, page 28, verse 31, Leah was hated. Maybe Jacob hated her because Rachel looked better. Maybe he hated her because she tricked him into marrying her together with her father. Either way, whatever the background, Jacob does not love Leah, but Leah loves Jacob. And more than anything else, she longs for, she desires, she wants Jacob to love her. And because Jacob doesn't love her, she decides that she will buy his love by giving him babies. And her plan is not a secret plan. You can just imagine meeting her at some kabbalgruppe, maybe at Tiny Tots. Leah, good to see you. Your first child, you've called him Reuben. Why did you call him Reuben? Verse 32. Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. A little later, and Leah turns up at Tiny Tots now with two kids. Ah, a new kid. Yeah, this is Simeon. What did you call Simeon? Verse 33. Because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also. A little while later, and Leah turns up with three kids. You're almost too scared to ask now, what's he called and why? But you do. Verse 34. Now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I've borne him three sons. Each son named after their mother's heartache and the cold reality that their father loves another woman. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. It is also idolatrous. Leah talks about the Lord in these verses. She knows the Lord, but it's as if she looks past him to see the one she most wants, the one she truly desires. She looks past the Lord to see Jacob, and Jacob is all she has eyes for. Jacob is her idol. And yet the Lord whom she looks past to see, Jacob, that Lord sees her. Verse 21, the Lord saw Leah and opened her womb. And now, because the Lord has never taken his eyes off Leah, verse 35, she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. It's one of the little glimpses of light in what is such a very dark passage, that the Lord sees her barren marriage and gives her sons, but even more, the Lord sees her barren heart and gives her hope in him so that she would praise him and not just long for another. The Lord sees. What do others see? Well, chapter 30, verse 1. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. He said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" Rachel sees, Rachel envies, Rachel rages, and Jacob rages right back. Both of them explode at each other, angry with each other for failing to provide what they most want. I guess ultimately you want to say they're angry with God. God has withheld children from Rachel. But they can't get their hands on God, and so they take their anger out on the people who they can see, on those nearest to them. Instead of turning to God in prayer, they turn on each other. And they don't just turn on each other, they then turn on other people nearby and start exploiting them so that they can get what they want. Verse 3, Rachel gives Jacob her servant girl. Go on, sleep with her. Maybe you'll get a baby that way. Just as Laban had used Rachel for his greed, now Rachel now uses Bilna for her greed. Like father, like daughter. And even worse, Rachel and Jacob are copying what Sarah and Abraham did with Hagar in Genesis 16. Instead of trusting the Lord to keep his promises, they're turning to their own strength to try and control the outcome. They're trying to do life their way so that they can get what they most want. And for Rachel, what she most wants is to be better than her sister. You can see that there in chapter 30, verse 8. I have wrestled with my sister and prevailed. Well, what about Jacob? Where's Jacob in all of this? Jacob seems to have just fled home and buried himself in his work. Apart from verse 2, he's absent in these verses until he returns from the harvest in verse 14. He's not taking responsibility, he's just legged it. He's absent. Or at least he's almost absent. He turns up. How many children are here? Yeah, that's okay. He turns up for the sex, and he doesn't seem to care who he has sex with. Rachel, Leah, Bilna, Zilpah, he's not bothered. He's a fertile man, but he has a barren heart. And yet, amazingly, the Lord sees Jacob too. So that his story isn't over in these verses. And by the time we get to chapter 32, we will have seen that God has taught Jacob that Jacob's strength is weakness, and that real strength comes from putting your hope in the Lord's promises. The Lord sees Jacob. And then verse 9 shows us what Leah sees. Chronologically, verse 9, in one sense, takes you back to the end of chapter 29. Leah sees that she's not having children anymore, but that her sister Rachel is through her servant. And so Leah thinks, well, what she does, I can do too. And she sends her servant, Zilpah, off to Jacob. More sons, more tragic names. Verse 11, Leah calls her fifth son Gad. Good fortune, good luck has come. And her sixth son, Asher, verse 12, happy am I, for women have called me happy. And verse 12, I think, is once on the saddest verses in the whole section, because she says she's happy, but it's so obvious she isn't. And you think, how desperate must you be to lie to yourself and others that way? And that, I guess, is the power of how sin deceives us. Sin gets us chasing after a hope we can't reach and a joy we can't find. An idol that doesn't see us or love us or listen to us. And while that idol just tears apart our hearts with unbearable sadness, we try and kid ourselves and we say, yeah, I'm really happy actually. Mir geht's gut. And all the while, while Leah lies to herself and only has eyes for Jacob, she is blind to the Lord who sees her. Just like so often we are blind to the Lord Jesus who sees us and loves us and doesn't just see us from afar, but saw us from heaven and came to earth so that in one sense he could live Leah's life for us. He came and became unloved and rejected and unwanted and despised and shamed, so that all who put their hope in him might be honoured, received, cherished, adored, loved as his bride forever. What are you looking for in life? What are your eyes hungry for? Do you know that the Lord sees you? He sees you and he listens. And that's the next set of verses, verses 14 to 24. The Lord listens. Little Reuben, probably about 6 years old, has found some mandrakes in the field. I had to Google mandrakes twice this week, one to find out what they are, and secondly to find out what they are in German, Liebesäpfel or Teufelsäpfel. In the ancient Near East, they were a fertility drug, as well as having pretty flowers. Well, no sooner has Reuben found these pretty flowers in the fields and brought them home to Mummy, than Auntie Rachel sees them and says, "Oi, I want those, give me those." She wants to drug up so that she can have a baby. And Leah answers, what, verse 15, "You've taken my husband and now you want to take my kids' flowers as well? I mean, how low can you stoop?" And Rachel says, "Okay, we'll do a deal. You can sleep with your husband tonight. You can have Jacob if you give me the mandrakes." And then the mandrake deal turns sour for her. Because that night, it's not Rachel who gets pregnant, it's Leah. And it's actually not because of any drug, verse 17. It's because God listened to Leah and she conceived. Leah gets a fifth son, and then a sixth son, and then a daughter called Dinah. Interestingly, by the way, Moses explains the names of all of the sons in this section, but not Dinah's name. And in one sense, he's making you wait until chapter 34 when we'll hear the rest of Dinah's story. But you have to wait and come back for that. What have we heard then in verses 14 to 21? What have we been listening to? Well, it's quite depressing, isn't it? Bargaining, bribing, bullying, anger, envy, resentment, and dehumanizing idolatry. Have we heard any love? No. Look at verse 15. Rachel doesn't even name Jacob as she hands him over to Leah like some type of sex slave. Rachel just uses Jacob so that she can be better than her sister. And Leah, well, once she did love Jacob, but that love seems to have withered and died. And she now just uses him to get what she wants. When he comes home from work, all she says, verse 16, is, in effect, "Get into bed, I've bought you. I've paid for you." Can you hear any love? No. Can you hear any prayer? No. Not from Jacob, not from Rachel, not from Leah. Which makes verse 22 an absolute surprise, doesn't it? Have a look with me. Verse 22, God remembered Rachel and God listened to her and God opened her womb. And you have to say, listen to what? Well, not Rachel's sin, not her abusing her husband, her servant, her sister, not her envy, her anger, her idolatry, and not her prayers either, because we've had no record of her praying. Instead, in his mercy, it seems the Lord has heard Rachel's heartache. That her tears were the prayers she didn't pray, that she either forgot to pray or chose not to pray. But the Lord heard her grief, not her guilt. It's a great reminder of what the Lord hears from us. If you've put your hope in the Lord Jesus, then the Lord does not hear your sin. He doesn't hear that cry of your sin, crying out for justice to be done, because the Lord Jesus took our sin from us and for us at the cross. And as he cried out, heaven was silent, as if the Lord was not listening and had closed his ears. And because the Lord Jesus took our sin for us and from us, our Heavenly Father listens to every cry of our hearts. If you have put your hope in Jesus, you have a Father in heaven who hears every prayer you pray. The prayers with words and the prayers without words. The prayers of a broken heart, the prayers of your tears. And he is more ready to give than we are to ask. He has more mercy for us than we have sin or sorrow in our hearts. He always gives better than we ask for. Because the Lord listens. Rachel conceives and gives birth to a son, Joseph. And at this point, we can stand back and kind of look back on what we've seen and heard. And in one sense, it did look just like a lousy husband with desperate housewives, angry adults and crying babies. But do you see actually that the Lord sees so much better? He listens so much better than we do. He has no cataracts and no hearing aids. He sees and hears perfectly so that no grief and no cry of the heart is hidden from him. And what happens when the Lord sees and listens? The Lord works everything for good, to keep his promises. Just turn the page back with me to chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 14. God had promised Jacob, "Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth." And now back in our passage, by verse 24, Jacob has 11 sons. And spoiler alert, there is a 12th that will come along soon. This is Israel's origin story. So that what has happened is that through 7 years of Rachel and Leah's birth wars, the Lord has kept his promise to Jacob, not once, not twice, not three times, but 11 times. As the Lord begins to create a company of peoples, a family like the dust of the earth, a church to fill the world, all because the Lord sees and listens. And if your hope is in Jesus Christ, you're part of how the Lord sees and listens and has kept his promise and is keeping his promise to Jacob, because that family includes you and me. We belong to that. That family includes us, but it doesn't stop with us. The Lord hasn't stopped growing his people. He hasn't finished making Jacob's family like the dust of the earth. He hasn't finished giving the Lord Jesus the prize for which he died, the inheritance of nations. The Lord is still working today, filling the earth with his people, making them like the dust of the earth. And he does it through the biggest disasters you can imagine and turns them around for good. Where you and I see disaster, where you and I hear only misery and despair, the Lord sees, listens, and gives grace. And that's our final reason to hope in the Lord. The Lord sees, the Lord listens. Then in chapter 30, verses 25 through to chapter 31, verse 16, the Lord gives. After Joseph is born, something seems to change in Jacob so that he says, verse 25, to Laban, "Send me home." This is bad news for Laban because Jacob has made Laban filthy rich. Chapter 30, verse 30, Jacob says to Laban, "You had little before I came and it has increased abundantly and the Lord has blessed you." Laban does not want the source of his fat bank account to leave him, and so he starts a trick and cheat campaign to keep Jacob, or if he can't keep him, to at least squeeze every last bit from him. Trick number one, name your wages, and I will give it. Now, Jacob's wages were his two wives. He's already received them, so that's a non-starter, really. That's trick number one. And Jacob sees that it's a trick, and so he answers, verse 31, you shall not give me anything. Not falling for that one again. Instead, I'm going to take some stuff, actually. Let me take all your speckled, spotted, and black sheep, and all your speckled and spotted goats. I have been watching lots of Clarkson's Farm, so that I am now a farming expert and can tell you that sheep and goats are not normally speckled or spotted. So this is a great deal for Laban. He means he might lose maybe 1% of his flock, but he gets to keep 99%, and that 99% is going to get bigger. So Laban shouts out, "Deal!" and shakes Jacob's hand before Jacob can think twice. Jacob will keep looking after Laban's flocks. Laban will get even more filthy rich. Jacob will get almost nothing. But Laban is so tight-fisted, so greedy, that the thought of giving Jacob almost nothing is unbearable for him. And so as soon as he's shaken Jacob's hand, he runs off and takes from his flocks all the speckled, striped and spotted and black sheep and goats, and takes them to his sons, tells his sons, clear off, go 3 days away with them, don't let anyone see you. So that Jacob will then have to look after the rest of Laban's flocks, the white sheep and goats, for free, for nothing. And actually, the tricking and cheating didn't stop there. If you look at chapter 31, verse 6, Jacob later will say, "I served your father Laban with all my strength, and yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. Again and again and again and again. Laban lies, Laban cheats, Laban steals. He is the seed of the serpent trying to ruin God's people. But he fails. It doesn't work. Why does it fail? Because Jacob was hoping in the Lord by now. Look with me, chapter 31, verses 10 to 13. "In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, 'Jacob.' And I said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Lift up your eyes and see. All the goats that mate with a flock are striped, spotted, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred.'" Jacob had this dream just after his deal with Laban. And God told him in this dream, "I see you. I see what Laban's trying to do to you. I will look out for you. I will give you your inheritance. And when I've done that, you can go home." And therefore, that explains the weird stuff at the end of chapter 30 with sticks. It's very confusing. Jacob puts peeled sticks in front of sheep at various times so that as the sheep see the sticks, they somehow give birth to spotty, speckled and black lambs. And you think, what on earth are you doing? This isn't in any farming wikiHow that I've ever read. What was he doing? He wasn't trying to trick Laban. He wasn't using pagan practices. Laban probably would have recognized those. Jacob was trusting in God's promise. God's promise to give. And the promise that he was hoping in and trusting in, God kept that promise. That's how chapter 31 starts. Verse 1, "Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, 'Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained all his wealth.'" What has happened? Laban tried to take from Jacob. Jacob has taken from Laban. Except it wasn't actually Jacob who took it. It was God. Verse 5, God was with Jacob. Verse 7, God stopped Laban taking from Jacob. Verse 9, God took away Laban's flocks and gave them to Jacob. Verse 16, Rachel and Leah both say, "All the wealth that God has taken from our father belongs to us and to our children." Laban wanted Jacob to have nothing. Zilch, danada. But by chapter 30, verse 43, Jacob has everything. The man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants, male servants, and camels and donkeys. Laban wanted Jacob to have nothing. And yet God gave Jacob everything. The man increased. Moses uses that word increased one more time in Exodus chapter 1, verse 12. The more Israel was oppressed by Pharaoh, the more they multiplied and spread abroad, the more they increased. Moses wants his readers, he wants us to see a pattern. Laban tries to take from Jacob, but God takes Laban's wealth and gives it to Jacob. Pharaoh tries to take from Israel, but God takes Pharaoh's wealth and gives it to Israel. Satan tries to take from Christ, but God takes Satan's world and gives it to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus gives it to us, to all who put their hope in him. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? The meek shall inherit the earth. It's what the Apostle Paul said. All things are yours in Christ. Moses is teaching you and me to hope in the Lord because the Lord sees us. The Lord listens to us. And what the Lord gives us in Christ, no one can take from us. No Laban of this world. Jacob is a complete disaster zone. And yet the more you look, the more you begin to see that everything works out for him. Because the Lord sees and listens and gives. And what God did for Jacob, God does for everyone who trusts Jesus. That glorious promise that God gives us in the New Testament, I will work all things together for your good. All things, the good, the bad, the forgotten, the unforgotten, the stuff that happens at work and the stuff of the disasters of home life. Your sin and the sin of others to you, I will work it all for your good. I will not let Satan or Laban or anyone else have the last word over one day, 1 hour, or 1 minute of your life. Friends, what do you see in Jacob, Rachel, and Leah? What do you hear? You hear and you see the Lord that you can hope in. The Lord sees you. The Lord listens to you. The Lord has given you everything in Christ. Hope in him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are a God who sees us and that we are not invisible to you. We praise you that you are a God who listens to us and that our prayers with words and our prayers with tears and groans always come to you. And we praise you that you are a God who has given us everything in the Lord Jesus. Father, please, as we see you afresh, would you help us to put our hope in you? In Jesus' name, amen.